In a world full of movie podcasts, here is one more. Welcome to Defend Your Movie with Sean Donnelly
and Andrew Fiore.
The time has come again. The champion must end. It can only be one of us. Victoria!
Everybody, how's it going, DYM Nation, Dimwit Nation? This is your favorite podcast of all time, and I am one of your hosts, Sean Donnelly, and joined by my very amazing co-host, wow, Andrew Fiore, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, thanks, Dutchie. I appreciate it. The cool breeze appreciates the nice words from Dutch. Appreciates. I can't even say words
appreciates.
Right.
Appreciates.
For a broadcaster, I really don't speak good. What do you got, a little Misfits t-shirt on there?
I sure do, my friend.
Oh, buddy. Misfits. One of my favorites.
I'm not a diehard, but I dig the Misfits, man. I got them on my Spotify. I had a couple albums when I had CDs and, you know.
Yeah, I got into them when I was a real young punk, and I finally got to see them at the Garden last October. About a year ago now. Holy shit, that went by quick. It was like right around Halloween, and it was just,
yeah, that's almost,
they play all the hits, Jesus, and they sound great. It's just so much fun.
And what's his name was there, right?
Yeah, original lineup. Glenn Danzig, Johnny Von Halloween, or whatever the hell their names are. But it was super fun, man. And it's also hilarious to see all the people who liked the Misfits when they were 13 grow up and still go to the show in their, like, Misfits gear.
Yeah.
There's, like, some people who never let it go and just became adult versions of that.
Were they, like, cosplaying Misfits? Like, were they
cosplay without the cos? Or no, they have the cos, but they're not playing. You know what I mean?
They're like, this is me.
God bless them. Shawnee.
Go for it. I was talking about that the other day. Like, I guess you wouldn't consider Misfits fans metalheads, but it's like kind of like punk, no, rocky.
Punk, yeah, not metal. I wouldn't call it.
I was thinking this about metalheads. I don't think I've ever met a metalhead I didn't like. I've never met a metalhead. Generally nice people.
Yeah.
And my theory about them is that they get all the aggression out dancing to
100%.
Heavy metal music, and then they're just kind of just, you know, completely calm, cool, as collected after the fact.
Cool as cool breeze.
Cool as cool breeze can be.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to go to a lot of punk and hardcore shows when I was a kid growing up. And it was always really funny that you'd see just these normal dudes go to town in the pit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. They were getting out some... That was their therapy, basically.
Yeah. And then afterwards, they'd just be like, so, what are you doing this weekend? Are you...
Yeah.
Just drinking some tea and maybe reading a book?
They punch some dude in the face, and then you walk right to the bar and go, oh, excuse me, I had to get a drink. Excuse me. Pardon me. Pardon me, sir. I had to get a drink for myself.
Not at all.
Remember, back then, it probably was the same thing in Jersey. In Long Island, they had all, like, the under 21 nights at the clubs. The punk night. And the rock band nights where it was like you would go and it would just be like soda and juice or whatever, orange juice.
Oh yeah, but this was a lot of straight edge hardcore shows too. So they'd be in the afternoon, you know, like 4 p.m. start, you know. And
yeah,
they'd be in like church gymnasiums and all sorts of, like, I saw Sick of It All in a basement in some dude's house
in Jersey,
Connecticut. But I saw a bunch of those old hardcore bands, Strength 691. People would put on shows in their parents' basements, and we would pack them in and be just sweaty teenage angst, fun, and fast guitar riffs. And I loved it, man. It was so much fun.
We used to go to a place. I mentioned it on the show. I used to skateboard when I was like 60 pounds lighter. I was never so great at it. I was kind of regular at it. I wasn't that good at it. But we would go to a place called the UN that was in Hempstead in Long Island.
52nd Street, right over here.
No. Yeah.
United Nations.
We would go to the actual United Nations and just
we'd ollie the representatives from different countries.
No, we go to a place called the UN, and they had like a pyramid like to skate on, and then they have like rock shows later in the night. Like it was like actually kind of
badass,
cool.
Dude.
Yeah, it was like actually cool. Like I was, yeah. You know, I was never cool in my life. I was talking to a friend of mine about this last night. I was never cool, but the shit I was into as a teenager was cool. Like it's right. Like that, like the skateboarding world.
I feel the same.
A lot
way.
Of stuff left over from the skateboarding world in the '90s is like look at Supreme is high fashion now. Vice is its own a news network now.
Supreme,
like,
the skateboarding brand.
Supreme, the skateboarding brand, is like.
Oh, I didn't know that was okay.
It's basically high fashion, like it's pretty much.
Right.
They do that supply and demand thing where they only have X amount of things for the month, and once they're sold out, they're sold. They create like demand out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
a smart technique.
They have like runway shows and shit, and it's all like overpriced and, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, I've never had the any Supreme gear.
I never had any either.
Taco and Supreme is all I have.
Yeah, I got a couple of chalupas. That's all I got. One thing I always wanted to get was they had this hoodie that had like the Supreme logo in the center of it. And there's a place called Stadium Goods that has sneakers. It's kind of like
shout out Stadium Goods.
Yeah, Stadium Goods is a great place. It's like one of those like consignment places. I think where people like give them their sneakers, they sell them, and they split the profits. But the crazy part is that they had the sweatshirt that I wanted as like a teenager there, and I was like, oh, and I looked at it, $600.
Get the fuck out of here.
$600 for a hooded, a really high quality hooded sweatshirt, but still a hooded sweatshirt.
I don't care how high quality it is. 600 clams for a fucking sweatshirt? No way.
600 clams.
I lose hoodies, you know, like my virginity. It just fucking often.
Yeah, this thing is—it's a great sweatshirt, but 600. There's no way you're getting me to do that. No way.
Well, let me ask you this: in the quarantine, have you been buying things? Have you been pampering yourself at all?
I've
made some splurges.
I had a big one. I bought an iPad early on in the quarantine. And that was a big
probably
one.
Less than the fucking sweatshirt.
it wasn't that far off, to be honest.
Yeah.
But so I bought myself an iPad, and I've bought myself things here and there. But lately, because I moved into this new place, I haven't bought any new stuff really, because my rent is higher than it was.
Yeah, that's
and good. I'm yeah. You know we're working, but I got the unemployment and off the books comedy is not, you know, it's not, I'm not flourishing, you know, it's that kind
right,
of thing.
So
we should say this. I forgot to mention this up front. Guys, the thing you've been waiting for.
Oh my God. How did we forget?
For the podcast, this will be the episode where you hear the announcement.
It's here. It's finally here.
Stay till the end of the episode so you can hear the big announcement.
The big news. Yeah.
You had to get the big announcement.
Oh, the big announcement.
Oh, the big announcement.
Yeah, everybody, hang tight. And why wouldn't you anyway? You're not going anywhere. You're here because you like the Dutch and the Cool Breeze. So this is only going to be a huge payoff at the end. But yeah, to get back to, I've been buying home improvements because I've been here so much.
Well, like sconces? What have you been buying?
Yeah, no, like just some more like cookware. I bought some more wall furnishings just to decorate the place a little more. Just because if I got to be here, I'm going to make it nice to look at and I want to be comfortable. And, you know, I'm planning on my big purchase is going to be the new couch. Instead of moving,
I
want to buy the new couch. But getting
you have
back
a good-
to-
You have a good couch setup because you got the sectional, they call it.
Yeah, right? I got the L.
That's a great. That's
I know.
That's like
I'm
the
ready
best.
To send this couch to L. Like worn and brutal, and I feel like it's diseased. And
but dude, I did buy some cookware during the quarantine as well.
Yeah, it's important. I've been cooking
myself. Yeah, I bought myself a grill pan. I bought myself an egg, basically an omelet pan, but I just make eggs in it.
You got a nice whisk? Let me ask you that.
I got a good whisk now. I got a new whisk. It's tinier. And it's got it's a rubber whisk, and it kind of goes. It's pretty quality.
About it. I love cookware, man. I get it.
Like if I was an actual like really good cook, that's the thing I would splurge on is like the $100 knife and the, you know, like the big stuff, you know?
Yeah. My buddy, your buddy too, he runs Comedy Central Radio, sweet Jacob Patat. He is a cookware fiend. He gets excited like nobody I've ever seen. He goes, buddy, look at this. I got a new knife. And man, he loves that shit.
He's like an
porn for him.
Epicurean, I think they would call it, don't they?
Yeah, sure.
Epicurean. I think that's somebody who's really interested in cooking.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah. SAT word there for you, Andrew.
This was, I was laughing at this the other day. Last week we took a stroll through Astoria Park. And we had a lot of Astoria Park activity this week. And we were walking by that restaurant with outdoor seating. And there was an old gentleman. And he just went to us. He goes, look at this, the Smith Brothers.
Oh. Yeah,
I didn't know the reference.
And you caught, oh, I did know the reference. You caught what he said. I didn't catch what he said.
I had no idea.
I thought he said like beards or something or sweatshirts. I don't know what he thought he said. And then you walk by and you go, you're like, the Smith Brothers? And I'm like, oh.
I know, and for Kevin people, and Frank, I don't
know. Who don't know what it is, yeah, Frank Smith and Kevin.
I had no idea what it was either until you showed me.
Seton and Kevin, that's the two Smith Brothers. For those of you who don't know what the Smith Brothers are, and a lot of people listening might know what it is already, and I had to tell Andy, which I'm shocked you didn't have these as a kid. They were like these old-timey cough drops that you would buy. But here's the thing. Because they weren't freaking cough drops. They were basically just cherry candies. So I used to eat them as candy. They had no methyl, what do they call it? Eucalyptus in them. There was no menthol flavor. There was nothing like that.
I mean, I wasn't an 8-year-old walking around with an old smoker's cough. I didn't need cough drops. I never had.
They were basically lozenges. Like they were like,
I see.
Which is a very old fashioned word too, I feel like.
Yeah, those weren't my candies. I didn't like the sucking candies. I had some hard candy in there. But I like
chocolate bar. Guy?
I like the chocolate bar. I like your traditional candy bars. Give me a Snickers, a Milky Way, give me a Charleston Chew, throw that in the fridge for a day, and then you're having a great time.
Charleston Chew's fantastic.
I'll just tell you this. Nobody's giving out Smith Brothers cough lozenges on Halloween where I come from. So I don't know.
Nobody did that by us either, but I'm just saying that there was times I went and got Smith Brothers cough drops because I liked the taste of the cough drops.
Well, I mean, I was amazed you knew the reference.
And also, somebody's got a
pull to just be like, look at you. Hey, it's the Smith Brothers. I mean, I was mind boggled.
I was like, buddy, you should just be dead at this. Like, just be dead.
He goes, I knew the Smith Brothers, Tommy and Ralph.
Yeah, yeah. If you looked at the picture, watch, if you do, Google it right now.
I did. I looked it up, and it's accurate. Yeah. It was a good
And how, it's laugh. Very old-timey, right? It's
yeah,
super
of course.
Old-timey.
It's from the 20s. Yeah, we look like we were designing airplanes, you know?
Yeah, they probably hung out with the Wright brothers.
Right.
They're like, good luck with your flying machine. We're going to make some cash selling some cough drops.
I said right unintentionally bad. I made an unintentional bad pun.
Dude, Jesus.
My mom did this. I didn't even mean to do that. My mom did this the other day. So my mom, I was out in New Jersey. It would have been my dad's birthday this week. My dad would have turned 97 this week. So we went.
Wow.
His gravestone was finally ready and finished. So we went over and we said hey to him on his birthday. And very nice. And on the way back, my mom was like, all right, I'll drop you off and I got to go stop at the store. And so on her way home, she goes, Andy, you're never going to guess what happened. I go, what? She goes, I hit a bear.
Shut the fuck
I swear
up.
To God. Well, in her area in North Jersey, there's a lot of black bears. They're
like a chubby gay dude or like an actual.
She goes, there's a muscular
gay gentleman in the street.
There's chains and leather caught in my grill.
Was it one of the Smith Brothers? Because they look like bears.
Yeah, exactly. No, she goes, he came out of nowhere. I was turning onto our street. She goes, I wasn't going very fast, but I clipped him. And he stumbled and, you know, took a few somersaults and then ran off. So I don't think she killed him, but she was like, I hope he's okay. I go, he's fine. They're bears. You know, she's probably doing 25 tops. You're fine.
Wait, so 25 would kill a bear, I think.
No, not a big black bear like that.
So, wait, so she hit the bear? He was coming in the middle of the street?
They run across the street. He was running across the street, and she thinks she hit him on the side.
Have you seen that happen?
I haven't seen anybody hit a bear before, but I have seen a dead bear on the side of the road.
No way.
Yeah, because they try and cross the highway. Not the highway, but it's a decently busy road.
That's crazy.
And if you're a bear just daydreaming about picnic baskets and you don't look both ways, you might get clipped by Marianne Fiori.
But I thought, watch out for Mary Fury. I thought that bears, they don't go near where there's people. Like they, you know what I'm saying? Like they're not.
So many gay jokes to be made. not from the footage I've seen.
Weren't you hitting outside a dance club? Was it Ramrods? Is there a thing?
No, well, I've been driving in my parents' neighborhood before, and one time I was driving home, I got a breakfast sandwich. I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw one dart across the street. They are gentrifying that neighborhood. Like they're making their way into the more residential areas, I think.
That's funny. The next gentrification is not white people. It's wildlife. It's just the ones. We were doing great until these freaking storks started moving in over here.
Right. I've never seen as many babies.
Right, raising the rent with these leopards are really, really upping the rent in my neighborhood. But you're like from the suburbs. I guess that's pretty rural.
You're going to be out there next week. You'll see. It's pretty woodsy. It's very, you know, it's not what your idea of like a developed suburban neighborhood would be. It's a little more spaced out, and there's a lot of good bear terrain out there. So I think once you'll see it, you'll understand. You'll be like, oh, this makes more sense.
I think that's what a lot of suburbs are. I'm starting to realize more and more the suburbs that I'm from was basically like Queens adjacent.
Right.
My suburb was really packed. The first time I realized that is when I went to my ex-wife's area where she's from. She's from like New England. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, all the houses are like, you know, an acre apart. Like they're like, you know, they're not. It's not on top of each other. Like they have, like people have like land out there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And in Long Island, it's depending on where you are, you're right tight next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we got a little space between backyards here, which is nice.
So the bear was okay. So no bears were hurt in the making of this podcast.
Yeah. She barely hit him.
Oh, dude. We might just have to end the show forever.
Whole podcast,
dude. Did she actually hit a bear?
Yes, of course. No, no.
Just tell the story. I didn't, just so you can say that.
I didn't build that up just so I could say that. No, she absolutely did. She had a little scuff mark on her like right fender. I'm not kidding at all.
Did it have bear fur on it?
Not that I saw. There's no fur.
Was she freaked out, or was she like?
She was a little like. I hope she was more concerned that she didn't kill it.
Right. Yeah. I saw what I'd be, yeah.
You know, and I was like, yeah, I'm sure he's fine. I told her, I go, the way you're talking, yeah, I'm not going to turn you into the cops. You know, she's like, I promise I wasn't speeding or anything. He just kind of came out of nowhere. I go, relax, dude.
Here's the deal. You came to pick me up. I came to pick you up.
I got, sorry. I'm interrogating her. I go, I don't know. The story smells real bad.
Marion Fury's on the lam right now.
Oh yeah. She's on the lam from hitting the bear.
I knew you'd do that. I knew you'd
fucking
do that. I can't
stay away from. But,
shout out to the bear, man. Like, we hope the bear's okay, you know?
Yeah. I told you this before. I was sitting in my parents' basement a couple years ago, minding my own, watching the telly. And this is when their dog was alive. And it was like a summer day. And the way my parents' basement works is there's a window that you. Peers right into the backyard where like the dog used to run around, and the dog used to go into the side door in the kitchen. So you'd see her run by the window and not think anything of it. And I'm watching TV and I see something go by that window out of the corner of my eye. And I go, that didn't look like a golden retriever. And I walked
up. It's like Jaws, but a backyard.
Right, right. I walked up into the kitchen and my mom keeps like a side door open. You'll see it. And, you know, in the summertime, it's got the screen door. She's got the regular door open, but the screen door is closed. And I see a baby brown bear or black bear just peeking his head in, checking out the scene, checking out the vibes.
Into the house or just
on our
house?
Porch at the screen door, looking into our kitchen.
So what'd you do? Just yell and scream?
Well, yeah, I yelled to my dad was in the yard working and the dog was out there too. I go, Dad, there's a fucking fucking bear in the yard. And as soon as I yelled, it ran off. It was a baby. And
it was a cub. Oh, my God.
And then I ran out onto our deck, and he, like, ran down into the people who live behind us. And I lost him. But, yeah, there's bears all around there, man.
Wow, that's crazy. Maybe when I come out there, I'll see one.
Maybe.
That'd be kind of nuts. I feel like bears stay away for the most part. Maybe.
It's the garbage nights. I think you're probably they're looking for food.
Looking for food. Yeah. Crazy, dude.
Yeah. Sorry to bore you with the.
I'll explain why I'm yawning because.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
As you know, today we wanted Andy to come play tennis with us.
I know, our pal Carmen.
We played, me, Andy, and Carmen, we all went to
play tennis. Very funny comic in her own right, if you don't know her, check
her. She's hilarious. She's so funny.
So funny.
And then last weekend we went and we played tennis against the wall because all the courts in Astoria were taken.
Yeah.
It was this weird setup.
We went on a Sunday at noon.
Yeah, it was like peak time.
Thinking we would just walk right up. But, yeah, it was just as good, I thought, because we all hadn't admittedly played in a while.
Yeah.
So just the warm-up on the wall back and forth was good. And you can get a little volley going.
You can.
Another person.
But we were going today, me and her. You couldn't go.
I couldn't make it. I was.
We went today, and we played for a while, and I'm exhausted from playing.
It wears you out, man. It's good exercise.
It's good exercise. And we were playing. We had to play in the middle court of this three court setup.
You don't want the middle.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I was so worried. We actually did. I have to say, we did pretty well considering. The ball only jumped over maybe three times. Like, it wasn't that, like, jumped over the other people playing. Like, and everybody else is way better than us. Like, you know, it was like that kind of thing where they were like properly hitting the ball in the correct form and everything, you know? And then we were like, sorry. Like, you know, like hitting the net. We were getting a volley going. We didn't do that badly considering.
That's good. Did you keep score? Did you play a game?
No. That's one thing I brought up to Carmen. I go, you realize we didn't even mention keeping score because we just both knew that shouldn't be a thing that happened. There's no point. I just want to learn how to actually hit the ball properly before I'm keeping score.
Yeah,
like it's so stupid to like be like, oh yeah, we're gonna have a competition, and I barely know how to play the sport. You know, it's like so stupid. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we went on Sunday, and after that, I twisted an ankle or something. I wrenched it or tweaked it or pulled it or something because it was aching all night into Monday, and I did a good job of elevating it. I think it was just because I'm wearing my stupid walking sneakers, casual canvas New Balance, playing tennis with them, running around, and they give me zero ankle support.
Carmen jammed her ankle today, and then we were sitting there going, "We're so old." We're
just
old.
I know. But like, I came home.
That's what it comes down to.
I immediately bought a pair of tennis sneakers. I go, I'm going to become a tennis professional now. I bought like a $120 pair. Fucking New Balances. I'm very loyal to the New Balance. New Balance, if you want to sponsor, we've got a big announcement at the end of the show. So get in touch with our new producers. And we're both tennis. You got the new Djokovic and Federer over here.
Yeah, especially me. You know, I'm just all over the court. I'm just fucking just spiking it. Spiking it, baby.
I think you'll be happy to know since last week I talked to you, got the blood work back. The kid's looking tip top, baby.
I like how you said that. I don't think you brought it up on the podcast. So
I did. I think I did last week. I was at the doctor.
Oh, you did.
And just because you wait on that blood work, and you know, in the back of your mind, you're just going, "What if?" You start thinking about every fucking
everything.
Late night, you went home with some piece of shit. And,
Jesus Christ!
I remember more me than you, but you know, you just start thinking. Like, admittedly, it had been a long time since I had any sort of STD test or blood work done. So not only was I on the fence, he's out riding fences, I was on the fence thinking about all the blood work sexually. I'm also 41, so I'm thinking about, oh, am I going to get the fatty lipids and the, you know, homonyms and all this stuff that's, you know, in the insides of the pre-diabetes and hypertension and all that stuff.
Right, right, and, exactly.
It all came back on like Sunday night. I was sitting there in my mom's house and I got all the results. And the first one of them, of course, I opened HIV first. I go, come on, no hammies, you know.
That's and, a rough one.
So we're all good. Everything was clean. And then I got a note from my nurse, the doctor. He looked at it. He said, everything's within the normal range. So
the nurse said, Andy, call me.
I thought I had diabetes. I thought I had, you know, hypertension and all this stuff. It's just such a relief. And I don't know why, like, it's just mentally, I put that stuff off longer than I probably should have. But then you get the clean bill of health and you really go, all right, things aren't as bad as I thought. And it's, you know, then I ate a full pizza. So it's just a relief, man, you know.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Dimwit Nation is so grateful that you're okay, Andy.
Yeah, we're going to have 2.5 more years of healthy podcast.
Why, is that when you're supposed to get blood work done every 2.5 years?
No, I was just handicapping the rest of my life.
Oh. You're like, I give myself 2.5 years.
2.5 over under.
I actually watched something this week. I rewatched something, and it's, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, you're going to know I'm a fan of this guy. Can you know who it is, Andy? It was one of his
giving
movies.
Me zero hints.
Well, I think he's underrated. I mentioned it multiple times in the podcast. And this is one of those movies and where also the guy who wrote it, is, I'm realizing, anytime one of his movies is on streaming and I turn it on, I think I'm only going to watch about a half hour and I end up watching the whole thing no matter what.
Newer?
No. This is from like 10 years ago, this movie, but this movie that I watched was from like maybe 2011 or so. I don't know.
Was it the director / writer, whoever's first film?
No, it was not.
Give me something I can say.
You'll know one fact. He directed a famous music video.
Ooh.
I think you know this fact about him.
Was it McGee?
No, that's a good guess though. No, I don't think I ever described McGee as underrated.
All right.
The guy who made Charlie's Angels is a auteur of film.
I think knowing you, I'm going to say maybe 2011. And I think I can't come up with the director.
I know
the
name.
Is it her?
No, it's a him. The director is a him.
No, it was the movie.
Oh, her, the movie? No, it's not.
But is it the same? Is it Spike Owen? Is Spike Jones?
Spike Jones? No, it's not.
Oh, that was my guess of the director because okay. Music video.
I'll just tell you who it is. It's David Fincher.
Ooh, what video did he direct?
He directed the Janie's Got a Gun video from Aerosmith back in the day.
Dude.
What?
Famous videos?
That's a famous video.
I wouldn't put that in the top 10 videos of all time.
You don't think Janie's Got a Gun is a famous music video from the
80s? When you said directed a famous video, I went to Spike Jones. Like, that's, you know, the Christopher Walken.
This is later. I didn't say what year it was.
Well, I know, but I was thinking around 2011. So what did David Fincher do? And was it? He didn't do Zodiac, did he?
Social Network. What year was Social Network?
Social Network. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
You watched it again?
I watched it again.
You love it.
Well, I've only watched it maybe a couple times before. Probably my third
time.
You
talk about it a lot.
Well, I'll tell you, Aaron Sorkin is... I was talking to St. Germain about Aaron Sorkin, and he's like, sometimes I love him, sometimes he infuriates me with certain things that he does, like Sunset Strip, that show that he did, whatever it is.
Yeah, but I mean, West Wing is... I love.
West Wing's great, but the guy, like... He's almost David Mamet-like with the pacing of his writing is so...
Very much so.
I'm sitting there going, got to be so hard to get to that point where he was doing that, how naturally you can make these things. Like, the way he writes is like three steps ahead of how other movies are so direct, and then the narrative is clear, and then... Like, he's doing the thing where you're filling in, like, that type of writing where you're filling in the blanks with your brain. Mm-hmm. Like, he's almost like he's not bothering with simple phrases. Every word counts, basically. There's a lot of word economy in his scripts.
Yeah.
And tone is achieved really well with that type of writing. Like, that might be the best thing that Jesse Eisenberg has done, I think. Right?
Yeah.
It's perfect for his personality. Like, well,
it definitely fits his personality. I very much enjoy the Zombieland movies, the first and the
second. No, they're great, I think he's really good in this, playing like Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. So what do you think? You think it got robbed on the Oscars in 2010 or 11, whatever?
Well, yeah, but I forget what it was up against.
It lost to The King's Speech, which I love.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really, really good movie. I think from beginning to end, like this is what I said to myself. I go, I'm going to watch 10 minutes of Social Network and then flip around on TV. And I watched the entire thing straightforward.
Now, do you think it was because of the material that it didn't win with Oscar voters because it was about Facebook and it was about this new thing
get? Yeah, they were like, this is frivolous or something.
Because The King's Speech is, you know, a perfect pick for the Oscar voter. You know, it's an old...
Yes, it's very...
Piece. And it's great. I love The King's Speech. I really do. It's a great movie, and I honestly don't have any problem with that because I'm not like... I don't love The Social Network. I think it's fine, but I mean... It doesn't, you know, really scratch that itch for me that badly.
Well, I just think that there's a lot of great scenes in it. And even Andrew Garfield, who I'm not a fan of.
He's good.
Is good in Social Network. Yeah. I don't like him as Spider-Man. I don't like him in other things.
Spider-Man.
But he's good in Social Network. And it's got to be, he fits the role well. Like, and then on top of it, it's the writing. The writing is so fucking
great.
This
writing.
This yogurt is so fucking good.
I appreciate you not use curse words in front of my kid.
So watching it again just made me like it even more. Like I you know, you do a rewatch sometimes, you're like, this thing is not holding up. This, you know, because even now it's even like, it's weird. Like I will say about the context of it and the topic.
Oh.
What?
I'm looking up the competition that year. It was up against some stiff ones.
What was up against?
You know how they expanded it to 10? I think maybe starting...
That was that year?
Maybe in 2010 or thereabouts they did.
Not that long ago.
You get movies that shouldn't be nominated, but this was a big year. The King's Speech, 127 Hours, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, Social Network, Toy Story 3. What are you doing in there, Toy Story 3? True Grit and Winner's Bone. That's a good year.
True Grit did not deserve it. I'll say
you
can Black
throw
Swan.
True Grit out.
Black Swan you don't throw out. Black Swan
Toy Story 3.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Best Director nominees were Tom Hooper, King's Speech, Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan, David O. Russell, The Fighter, Fincher, Network, and The Coens for True Grit. But True Grit's not that great.
The Fighter, no, True Grit's not that good.
And I we love the Coens.
Yeah, The Fighter is good, but I don't think it should have won.
Yeah, I'm not as big a David O. Russell fan as a lot of people out there.
I love Three Kings. I like The Fighter a lot. There's movies that he has that I like. Silver Linings Playbook. That's not him. Is that him? That's him.
Yeah,
right?
It's him. Joy is him. They're okay. They're enjoyable. But like I don't. Yeah. Whatever. I got in an argument with somebody about Richard Linklater this past week. Fucking overrated. I love Dazed and Confused, but beyond that, what a bunch of stinkers.
Well, remember we were shocked to see that Dazed and Confused, I think we talked about this, is on Quentin Tarantino's list of all-time greatest movies.
It's a great, great movie. It's perfectly acted. It's perfectly written. And
it captures that time period really
perfect.
Well.
I mean, if you didn't want to be a part of that gang, and just live that weekend of high school life in Texas in the 70s. I mean, come on. I wished I was a part of that. So many times when I was watching that in high school, I was going, why couldn't I grow up like that?
It was a really cool, really cool scenario.
But he made some flops, man. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't. Is he Before Sunrise and Sunset guy?
I can't remember, to be honest.
I don't seek him out.
I
never watched Boyhood, and people
what a bore that was, dude.
People were raving about it when it first came out, and now there's like more of a backlash on it.
Right. Yeah, I guess he did do those Before Sunrise and Sunset movies, but yeah, they fucking stink. He did. I don't know. Whatever. You got off on a tangent there on the link.
But my point being is, I rewatched Social Network. It's like, you could have given it to Social Network, and honestly, The Best Picture, I wouldn't have flinched. Like, it's a quality movie.
A lot of those could have won. Black Swan was great.
And you know how much I love David Fincher. I love Gone Girl. Zodiac, I think, is one of the most underrated movies of all time. Zodiac is a awesome freaking movie.
I disagree with Zodiac. I think it's a little boring. What? It's a little long.
No way.
It drags on.
No way.
All my opinions are immediately wrong. I caught like the last 20 minutes of Mother. Did you ever see that? Speaking of Aronofsky.
No, because I heard it's really fucked up.
It's pretty wacky. It's a whole parable. You know, like I won't give it away if you haven't seen it, but once you figure it out, 20 minutes in, you go, I see what they're doing. It's interesting. He's an odd duck, that DA.
Darren Aronofsky. Yeah, he is an odd guy. He did Black Swan as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's why it reminded me.
Right. Black Swan is really great.
Great. Yeah. I mean, Requiem is what it is. Pi is a fucking weird, you know, kind of NYU film student-y kind of thing. But yeah. I like his movies generally overall. So,
Andy, I think it's about that time. What do you say?
Oh, my goodness gracious, Heloise.
Well, first off, I really would like to apologize to everybody for this taking probably, what was it, Andy?
I mean, 4.5 years. I put a kid through college before and after we said this announcement.
the bear, Marianne Fiori, had died before we had.
Yeah, his cubs are already having grandchildren. Before we get to the big news, we should. No! I was going to do our shows next week. We got a couple co-headliner shows.
Let's do that first. Yes,
because we want you guys to get out to there. This is just, you keep teasing them. This is just good radio. Next week, you'll be hearing this on Friday. So we will be at Morris Plains, New Jersey, at the Dojo at Tiff's Restaurant. It's a super fun show. I've headlined it there before. Friday, October 16th, Morris Plains, New Jersey. Go to tiffscomedy.com. It's an outdoor patio show. It's great. It's got an awning. So whatever the weather is, it looks to be beautiful. You get some nice fall outdoor shows. Tiffscomedy.com for that one. That's Shawnee. I'm going to give him the old Morristown finest. We're going to go to some restaurants and eat some Taylor ham. So that's a local show. So North Jersey peeps, come out to that one on Friday. And then on Saturday, the very next day, Saturday, October 17th, we are in Chamonix. We got to figure out how to pronounce this town.
Chamonix, I think, yeah.
Chamong.
Yeah, Chamonix.
It sounds like an MJ quote, you know?
Yeah, it does, Chamonix.
So we're going, our old pal Soul Joel has set up a show in Chamonix, New Jersey. Follow us on at Andy Fiori and at Shawnee Time on all the socials. It all gets posted there and you'll figure it out. But we got a back-to-back two-nighter where you're going to get each of us for about a half hour each, and we'll bring some friends and have some fun openers with us. So those are two fun shows. We got North Jersey and South Jersey. We got the state covered, baby. Now.
Yeah.
This was your baby from the beginning, so you make the big announcement.
Well, so as you know, we're always looking to improve the podcast and absolutely give you guys the best quality thing that we can muster and we can do. And after a long process, we're really happy to announce that we're going to be joining the Laugh Button Network as soon as next week. So October 16th. We could not be more excited about it. What this means, you might be saying, Sean, Andy, Dutch, Cool Breeze, what does this even mean for the podcast? And what it means is it means more episodes. It means the Patreon will start up again. It means content. It means videograms. It means audiograms. It means it means live episodes.
All the Dutch and Cool Breeze you can handle. We're joining a professional professional outlet here. It's Bobby Kelly was kind enough to, you know, he loves us and he brought us in, and we're gonna have a new producer, and we're joining, you know, Lewis Black, the Rad Dude Cast guys, Greg Warren and Brendan Ayer, our buddies. Adam Farr, a bunch of Chip Chipperson podcast, all this, you know, Bonnie and Rich, my wife hates me. We're joining a great network, and it's all the old stuff is going to be archived over there, but it's just the quality is going to step up. We're going to give you some more content. And it had just been taking us a while to finalize things. And then obviously COVID happened. That delayed things even more.
Yes.
But we're really excited. And a week from today, then you're hearing this, October 16th, our new, no, nothing really is going to be new. You're going to get the same old Sean and Andy.
But then more of us. More episodes of the podcast.
So, yeah, we're super excited. We're working with their team over there. And everybody's been great, and I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, they're going to be able to, you know, hopefully when all this stuff gets lifted, we're going to get some maybe some video, and we're back in the studio together. You know, this is Zoom thing is what it is, just a way for us to keep the podcast going. But once we can, we're going to get in the studio and we'll be together. We'll have some guests. I mean, I miss all that stuff. So
yeah, absolutely. And guys, now more than ever, please tweet at us, message us on Instagram, message us on whatever. It's at the DYM podcast on Twitter and Instagram, but send us on IG, send us a message. Let us know what you want to see from the extra content, because we were thinking movie watches. You're going to get live episodes from that. You're going to get extra regular episodes. What matchups do you want to see? What do you want to see somebody defend? What guests do you want to see? Who did you like on the show that you want to see? This is like a breath of fresh air, a kind of like a rebirth for the podcast. You're going to see a lot more. You're going to see a lot more from us on that end. And
still, really all, still for free, it. By the way. It's going to be free. Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you get it.
Yeah, we're going to have that. And then, right. Then if we have Patreon will be the extra content.
Exactly.
So, but there will be extra content that will be free as well. Yes.
We ain't leaving you behind, baby.
We're not leaving you behind, baby doll. But yes. So you guys,
somebody's listening to this right now and going, that was it? Really? The last four and a half?
The real announcement is that expect way more from us and expect us to, and we also want to hear from you guys, and we always love interacting with you. And
discover some other of our friends' podcasts in the network.
Exactly. And maybe we'll be discovered on their podcast. You know, it's like that kind of thing. We just want the whole thing to flourish. We want everybody to thrive in this situation. And we're really, really excited about it. And I just, the company itself, that I like the people that we're associated with, and I've always liked. It was formerly Riotcast, and then these guys partnered up, and you couldn't ask for better people to work with, because we know what bullshit goes on. There's no bullshit. There's no absolute bullshit. So we're really, really excited. Thank you guys so much for the listening you've done already, and the messages you've sent, and just being in the Dimwit Nation. The Dimwit Nation
is
getting bigger and bigger. It's just gonna get. We're gonna take over the Proud Boys. We're gonna murder all the Proud Boys. We're gonna get it. We'll get you, Proud Boys.
Proud Boys versus Dimwit Nation. I'll take the Dimwits any day of the week.
Yeah, I'll take Dimwit Nation over Proud Boys any day. But thank you guys again. Thank you for listening to this episode. Like I said, contact us. We have an Instagram. We have a Twitter. Also, rate, review, subscribe, rate, and review to
now,
the podcast.
More important with the move more than ever.
These reviews are so important right now, because that leads to more listens and more fans and more content and bigger. So thank you guys again, and we'll see you next week. And then very soon it'll be
Laugh, come on out.
Laugh Button Network presents the DYM podcast. Thank you guys. Woo-hoo. Again, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Bye.